welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
You're looking good. I can't quite see you all, but as far as I can see, you're looking great. So well done. What a great time so far. I just love that we're back with a little bit more time to really engage with God. The August has been great. We've had some really great times. We've given you all an extra lay-in, starting at 11, but now we're back to our regular time. And Philip and Pam and all their family managed to come in early this morning, so we just want to appreciate that. That was great. We do pray here at 9. If you want to be part of that, prayer builds, prayer releases. Prayer is one of our core values, which is why Prayer Academy is going to be so life-changing, impacting all the things that Andrew said it was and more. It's brilliant. My name is Jonathan. It's my real privilege to be the congregational leader here in Worthing. Thank you. And I'm really excited. Can you see me now? I'll move then. I'm really excited for what God is saying and what God wants to do in your life and in my life. And I've found myself in these last few days having to let go of a sense of God excite me. You know, God do something to me so that I get excited. And God told me, just make a decision to be excited. God doesn't have to do anything to make us excited. He's already done it. All I need to do is to say, God, I want the reality of your excitement to be in my life today. And he says, okay, go on then. So I'm not saying anything to you to try and get some emotional response from you or excite you in any way. What I want to do in these next few moments is paint a little bit of a picture of what God is going to offer you and me in order to live an exciting life. How many of you want an exciting life? I was going to say, how many of you are living an exciting life? And I was, Lorna's a good example of someone. Excitement looks different. Excitement radiates in a room. Excitement is not a thermometer, it's a thermostat. Excitement goes in the room and raises the temperature of the room. Excitement comes into our lives and raises our aspirations. Excitement comes into our room and doesn't just make us feel worse, it makes us feel we can be different. So I'm excited about these next few months for loads and loads of reasons. September is exciting because we've got the opportunity not just to rock up on a Sunday, but to build church together. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about Sundays. We had a couple of days out last week. And I didn't come along here on Sunday, and I missed it. But what is it that I miss? Funnily enough, the people sitting in your seat, who even look like you, which is amazing. I missed the excitement of being together as church. I missed the reality that when we meet together, and when we really want to meet with Jesus, we move from just singing a few songs, which I don't know about you, but I don't find that very exciting. All right? I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe it turns you on. What really excites me is that I can encounter the author of songs. What excites me is that I can encounter the writer of an eternal song. What excites me is that I can meet someone whose song has never changed. And his name is Jesus. And that's what I love about our gathering times on Sunday, is that I'm excited because I don't have to just stay earthbound and just sing to the screen or sing to my feelings or sing to my circumstances. But actually God says, lift your head, lift your voice, because I'm going to take you somewhere and blow your mind this morning. Yes. And I'm excited about that. Is anybody else excited? Yes. Just make sure your neck muscles work. It's just nodding off. So I'm excited that in September we've got the opportunity to not just be Sunday, but we can be the body of Christ in a brand new kind of way. If you're not in a small group, this is a small group. But it kind of starts at 8:30, finishes at 1, And for me, that's not really what Jesus wants small groups to be. He wants small groups to pump the excitement of God every day. So Sunday just gets us ready for tomorrow. Doesn't matter if you're weak tomorrow, as long as you're strong today. So today is about, September is about, engaging with part of this excitement called the body of Christ. Small groups is awesome. You'll hear a bit more about it in the next couple of weeks. But as far as I'm concerned, everybody's in a small group, but we don't always turn up. You get that? Because my relationship with Jesus, if you know Jesus today, and if you don't, I can explain how you can get to know him in a moment. But I have a small group with Jesus. But God doesn't want to limit that small group to just him and me. He wants to extend it to him and us. So small group is about relationship, about connecting, relating, and growing. And we are a small group, but God wants us all to flourish in small groups. And I'm excited about that. Woohoo! I'm also excited about Prayer Academy. Because prayer is how those groups, how the life of Jesus is lived and loved. And as you'll hear, coming to Discover today and Discover on in 2 weeks' time, but especially at Prayer Academy, this prayer is about being excited to know that we don't know anything, but we put our trust in the one who does. So Prayer Academy is not about encouraging you to go to more prayer meetings. It's about making you more effective in how you pray all the time. Jesus did not say, I've come that you would have meetings and meetings in abundance. What he did say is, okay, nothing. You haven't read your Bible at all. That's fine. What Jesus said, Sandra, you are so funny. What Jesus said was, I have. So who came? Right. Who did he come to? Who did he give the life to? Right. So we are 95% of that verse is you intended. The only bit that was Jesus was I. He moved. Have come. So that, consequence, you would have life. Of that whole sentence, it's only the first letter that God totally owns it. The rest of it's benefit. I'm excited about that. Did you like that?
I do.
Come on, Larry.
Very much.
Larry. I like his haircut. You haven't lost your strength, though. That's amazing. I have come so that you, me, can have life and life in all its fullness. I love it that wherever you are or wherever I am in September, Jesus is going to come right into that and change it.
Amen.
I'm excited about that. In terms of living and loving one another, living and loving the community that God's put us into. Jesus is going to come into those with a view. I'm going to change that so it looks more like me, sounds more like me, does what I do. And prayer is a massive key, which is why we put Prayer Academy in September. In October, we're going to be baptizing some people. Aren't we, Sandra? So October, there's going to be a bit of a flow about, but I'm excited about funerals.
Yes.
I'm excited about all of us experiencing something new as we give our lives to Jesus in a new way during October. We don't have to wait then, of course. I'm just giving you a little bit of a headline. So October is harvest time. It's when Pentecost was. Harvesting. And I love it that we can harvest by burying some people in the water of baptism. I love it. So on the 17th of October, which is a Saturday after that open house, we're going to just have a short pre-baptism session. There will be a venue for that. We haven't quite sorted that one, but we'll give you the details for that for those of you that want to know more about baptism. But the baptism service itself will be on the 25th of October, the last Sunday of October. We want to pack wherever we are, because we may be here, we may be somewhere else, but we'll tell you about that as well. We want to pack the room full of Jesus and full of people who need to experience Jesus. So as a leadership, we're expecting over 100 people to be in that room. Was that an English or a Dutch ha? Okay. So we're expecting to fill that place between now and then, so it's about seven Sundays' time, with people who we're excited about them meeting with Jesus. So we're already part of that answer. Then in November, really excited about November, we've got time to pray together. We're going to have a family service at the end of November. We're going to dedicate some kids. And during that time, hello, mate. How are you? Did you ever say anything? Okay. Sorry, have you met Emma? Have you met Emma? Okay. Make sure you take her home with you. In November, it's going to be a real time to pray, to really engage. We'll have the 2015, 2016 Bible school students. Whoever's going to be here, they'll be here with us by then. How many of you love having the college guys around? Yeah. How many of you know that you're in the college too? Yeah. We're all in the college. Just thought I'll throw that one in. So November, we're going to have some family service stuff. We're going to do some dedications there. But it's a great opportunity for us during that month to dedicate ourselves maybe in a new and a fresh way to the things of God. December, I'm kind of buzzing about this and it's kind of peculiar. It's for this December, for the very first time ever, Kingdom Faith Worthing is going to have a Christmas Day service. Okay. And it's going to be around at your... No, it's not going around at your house. You're all right. We're going to have a Christmas Day service. Because we know by then there's going to be so many people that are excited about the life of Jesus. There are going to be so many people that have just given their lives to Jesus and become, what the Bible says, born again, new creations. Jesus doesn't come to modify, he comes to change. So December is going to be about celebrating the reason for this season. Now, I have a philosophy on Christmas, which is it's every day Christ is first. Right. I remember when I was doing preaching school a few years ago at Bible College in the spring term, which starts in January. I left it until March time and said, right, we're going to go out into the streets of Horsham and we're going to do a... Were you there, Tom? You're laughing. No, you heard about it, haven't you? We're going to do a bit of praise and worship and I'm going to get 10 of you to preach, but the message is, why is Christmas every day? And they looked at me like, what? Why? Because all the hymns were carols. They didn't belong to Carol, they were carols, right? And we were doing O Come All Ye Faithful in the middle of March. And people were looking at us like, you're weird. Yeah, but they stopped. And then it was, you know, hark the herald angels sing. And it's like, why are you singing that? And I said, well, it's true today, isn't it? And it kind of messes with our wiring a little bit. But I think this season of time, God wants to mess with our wiring a little bit. So just look at a person next to you and have one last look at them. Like they are right now. You might be really thankful. I don't know. Maybe you've come with them. Maybe you haven't. I have no idea. But this is kind of the last time we're going to look a little bit like this, because I think God intended our faces to display what we think and what we believe. I think there's a reason why we have an eyes and a face and a mouth, and it's to glorify, to reflect, to enhance the purposes of God. This is why in Proverbs it says a happy heart. Oh, I spat on you. I'm so sorry. A happy heart. In the name of the Father. Yeah, the happy heart is a good... Sorry. I'm on one. A happy heart is good medicine. Remember, we're here as thermostats. I can guarantee this. Okay, and this is something that we do with the band, and Josh is good with it when you can see his face. Okay. It's, I can guarantee... If he smiles, you will smile back at him. Well, most of you that know what smiling is, just have a go. If you're not sure, look at either, something's happening over here, either look at Emma or Lorna, because they just know what smiling is, right? I don't know whether it's real, I have no idea whether you're poking her with something up there, I just have no idea. If you're not sure what smile is, get some sellotape, stick it there and push it behind your ears. But I think for this autumn time, these next 12, 13, 14 weeks, September, October, November. Yes, there's all these things that God is going to open up opportunities, and they are opportunities, but we need to enter into that door of opportunity. personally, as I can't remember if I said it here or somewhere, is every door of opportunity has the words push me written on. These opportunities, we know they're there, but they don't just become upon us. We have to come through them, and usually it says push me. So in September, push that opportunity. I'm going to be in a small group. I'm going to lead one. Have I led one before? We don't want you to lead one from yesterday. Well, I've led it once and I was rubbish. Well, let's put some torch to the rubbish and let's produce something new. You got that, Philip? Excellent. So, here we go. So let's push the opportunities. Well, I don't know if I'm very good at praying. Well, come on, let's learn together. The disciples only asked Jesus a few specific things in terms of teaching. One was, teach me how to pray. And we have about six lines where we gave an answer, and we unpack all of those lines, and it takes 30 hours to do that. And that's just to get us started. Why? Because the greatest teacher of prayer in the entire universe is God himself, through the working of the Holy Spirit. Most of us would know that, but maybe some of us don't. So this autumn, we're really excited. I turned up at leadership time on whatever it was, Thursday. And I just said, I'm just so excited. Now, they're used to me being excited, right? Aren't they? Yeah, okay. But I was just sitting there. It was like, oh, come on. I just want to get on with it. But it's about opportunities. And it's about you and I, A, knowing what the opportunities are because God's provided them, and B, saying, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get involved with that. I tweeted something this morning I thought was kind of funny, and it said this. Jesus showed us what we couldn't see, did what we could never do, and makes us what we could never be without him. That's where we are right now, people. Whether you're here for the first time, whether you've never even experienced God before, that's a truth for you. It's that God wants to show you what you can't see. It's called faith. He wants to do for you and for me what we could never do. He wants to heal you and set you free, make you whole and make you well, give you a new beginning and a new sense of hope and destiny and purpose. We can't do that, which is why Jesus says, well, I'll do that for you. There's an opportunity here. What are you going to do with it? So the theme, I suppose, of our church, that's everybody that's involved with Kingdom Faith, whether we gather together in Crawley or in Horsham or in Worthing, is this season, these next few weeks, it's God, let your kingdom come. Remember as I started seemingly hours ago with this message where Jesus says, I have come. In the same way, your kingdom is my reflective response to realizing what Jesus did when he came. It's not my kingdom come. It's not Andrew's kingdom come. It's not the church kingdom come. It's not Kingdom Faith kingdom come. It's your kingdom come, Jesus. Your kingdom come in my life, through my life, in my workplace, in my marketplace, in my leisure place experience. Is you're the focus, Jesus. But I know that when I make you the focus, there is a consequence in my life. In exactly the same way, but at the opposite end, is when Jesus says, Father, I'm going, because they can't do it without me. And then he came. Imagine this, if you can, that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, who are all equally God, having this conversation, these guys are just making a mess. They just never get it right. They're falling out. They're having to go falling out. They're just, when are they just going to get it? Just imagine if that's all their conversation ever revolved around. But at some point in time and space, a couple of thousand years ago, the invisible God, the Bible says, became visible in the form of Jesus. Colossians 1:15 says this. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. I believe God wants us to see Jesus in a new and a fresh way. Not a new and a fresh Jesus. Jesus has never changed. He doesn't have to. He remains beyond time and space. But he came into the visible so that I could see what Jesus looks like. I can see what God looks like. And I believe in these weeks, as we look at God's word, as we come through this opportunity door with a bit of a push sometimes, because it might be that everything in our body is saying, oh, well, you've had a rubbish day, been a terrible week, kids have been giving you this, your spouse has been giving you that. We can have loads of things going on in our head, but we've got to push through the opportunity that says, when you gather in my name, I am there. We've got to push through where it says, if you lift your eyes and fix your eyes upon me, I'm going to perfect something in you. Doesn't just happen automatically. But there is an opportunity where Jesus says, no, I want to give my life to you afresh today. All you need to do is want it. You can't earn it. You can't reward based by it. You know, you just need to desire it. You just need to want it. Hallelujah. And suddenly, in the middle of our life, whatever it is that we looked at last, Jesus wants to be the thing we look at first. Jesus is the invisible God made visible. I mean, if we have a bit of time, it'd be great to get Jamal up on one of these Sundays to talk about his, you know, he had a trip to some of the camps that he goes to. Many of you would know. If you don't, then we'll talk about that another time. Come back. Oh, hello. Is that my heartbeat? No, it's your heartbeat. Yours has just gone up massively. Sounds like someone trying to do a boombox. Where's it? But right in the middle of what appeared to be one thing, I know that Jamal would have seen Jesus touching people's lives. It might be good at some point to have a chat with Richard, not just about prayer, not just about the fact that he's brilliant, but the fact that a couple of his work colleagues experienced the hand of God, which is why they didn't get killed by a Hawker Hunter on the A27. Literally, they experienced something beyond the natural realm. One of them experienced, get out of the car. They did, and the car went. So Jesus always wants to make the invisible visible. He always wants to reveal what we can't see so that we can see it. But it doesn't just happen automatically. We need to look for it. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added to it. So the messages are going to revolve a little bit around, what is this kingdom? What does it look like? Well, it looks like Jesus looked like. What does this kingdom do? Well, it did what Jesus did. How do I become part of this kingdom? The same way as everybody becomes part of this kingdom. And how do I live this kingdom? The same way that Jesus did. The awesome thing about the kingdom of heaven is that Jesus showed us how to make it work. I love that. I love that. He says in John 17, 1-3, he looked heavenwards, and I think he did this deliberately, just to reflect on where he'd come from and the door that was open above his life. And he prayed, and he said this, Father, the hour has come. Do you know that the hour has come? This is your best hour. This is your greatest time. This is your maximum opportunity. If we grasp it, God will give us more, yes, but this is our time. This is Worthing's time. This is the people's time. He goes on and says this, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you've given him. Now this is this eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you've sent. The invisible becomes visible, but the eternal, the timeless, becomes now. That's brilliant. Do you know that in the Western world, we waste more time than anybody else in the entire universe? Do you know that everybody has the same amount of time? But we've come up with so many creative things to fill our time, fill our space, distract, that we waste more time in the sense that, are we fruitful with it for the things God wants us to be and for the thing God wants us to do? I don't know the answer for you. I know the answer for me, which is I've got the same amount of time as anybody else. It's what I do with it that determines what it looks like. Have you got that? So part of this season is about how God challenges on, are we living kingdom time or are we living carnal time? What do we do with time? What do we do with our gifts, our passions, the resources that not only God has given us, but we are a resource for God?
Hallelujah.
So the invisible became visible in Jesus. The eternal, the timeless, became now when Jesus appeared and said, now is the time. Today, now is the time when you can get your miracle. Now is the time when you can experience the presence of Jesus. Now is the time when you can receive Jesus. You don't have to wait until another time. Now is the time. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure most people here have read the book of Acts. You read the book of Acts? I'm always challenged by the very last verse of the very last chapter. I'll just read it for you. It's not on the... Laura, don't panic. It's not up there. She's brilliant, Laura. Acts 28, verse 31 says this. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a few thoughts I have on that, as you probably would expect. That's not a way to end a book. They all lived happily ever after, the end. Because it's not the end. We are. But what an ending. What a last thought. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of us could say with hand on heart, that's what I'm doing. I don't know about you, but I know it's what I want to be doing. But I also know that the church, the body of Christ, your life, my life, our life together as church, other Christians in this community, in this nation, we're here in this time to write the end of the book of Acts. That's why it doesn't say, and to him be all glory, or by the grace. It doesn't say that. It just ends. Bless you. Come out with everything. Is we're here by the grace of Jesus to write, I don't mean literally, but to demonstrate the invisible in the visible. The one day to the this day. So how can God change my yesterday? Because he changes it today. How can God use me? Because he knows your future. He knows the plan he has for you. How do we all know that this is true? Kind of last scripture I have here as a parting thought is John 14. It's all from John. Jesus said this, I am the way and the truth and the life. Everything is in who Jesus is, what he said and what he's done. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. I want to really know Jesus, don't you? I know that I know him. But I've also commented the reality that I live out of what I know, and so do you. We all do. Again, in Proverbs it says, as a man thinks, so he lives. So I want to really know Jesus so that I really show Jesus. Do you? Is that what's in your heart? I believe it is. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well from now on. When on? Now on. You do know him and have seen him. Why? Because you've seen me. You've seen how I live. You've seen how I move. You've seen how I am with people. You see how I refer to God. You see how I refer to the Holy Spirit. You've seen it. You've seen it. Lord, Philip said, show us the Father, that will be enough for us. And Jesus says, don't you know me? If anyone, say anyone, I love this, because this disqualifies everybody that we think should be is qualified. Oh, you can't mean them. Yes. You can't mean me. Yes. You can't change them. Yes, I can. This qualifying statement removes all of our disqualifying thoughts. I like that. Don't you like that? I look at this and I think, really? If anyone calls upon the name of Jesus, they will be saved. Anyone is a great word. If anyone asks and trusts in their heart, they will receive from me. I love that. Sometimes we don't because we think they have to look this, sound this, do that. Well, that's not what Jesus is saying. What he's saying is if anyone has seen me as I really am, they've seen the Father. And I believe in this season of time, in this autumn where the natural world is shedding leaves, we're going to grow some and some fruit. I believe we're in the natural realm where things are getting ready to store and nest and hide away in the winter. Now it's our time to come out in the light. I believe, you know, when things like the clocks change, daylight saving, whatever it's called, it doesn't change how many hours there are in your day, but it does change how you use them. And God wants us to use them differently anyway. So Jesus says, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus is demonstrating the life of the kingdom in words, in actions, in activity, and in results. And I believe for every single one of us, Jesus wants exactly the same now as he did then. That when people look at you, they see him. When people experience the very power of the kingdom of God working through you and me, they experience God. It's not about chasing the spectacular. It's about chasing Jesus. How many of you want an autumn like that?
Yes.
I do. Let's all stand up, shall we? This is what I want. So over these next weeks, there's going to be opportunity to meet, pray, and see God move. Yes. To worship and encounter Jesus. To give, and God will multiply it. To serve and God will enrich it. There's going to be loads of opportunities.
Yeah.
But we just got to push. Are you chilly? You're cold, aren't you? Anybody got a box of matches? Let's just close our eyes a moment. I'm going to kind of pray for me, but what I won't do is pray for you. Partly because I can't and partly because I won't. Right? But Father, I know the challenge that you're putting at our feet, but I also know the fruit that's on the other side of it. Because I thank you that where you're building your kingdom, lives are set free. People are changed. Communities change. Things that are opposing your kingdom are removed. I thank you that where you are building your kingdom, your rule and your reign, there's freedom and liberty and sounds of joy and celebration. There's healing. There's power. There's celebration to everything you are and everything you've done. And I don't know about anybody else in the room pretty much, but I want to live like that more than I do now. I want every day to be kingdom focused and kingdom based and kingdom expressive. Not my kingdom, but yours. So I thank you that you came, that I might have life and have life in abundance. And all I need to do is say, Jesus, I want it, I need it. Please give it to me. But in the same way you're saying right now, seek first the kingdom and all these things shall be added, I still need to say, I want it. I'm looking. And when I do that, you do add 2 interviews instead of none. Health instead of cancer. Joy instead of depression. You add what we can't do. You change what we can never change. So I just pray for every one of us here under the sound of my voice, people who are listening to this message in the days and weeks ahead, that people push the door of opportunity and say, yeah, I want to live as a kingdom man or a kingdom woman. I want to live for the King of Kings and for the Lord of the Lords in a new and in a fresh way. And everybody shouted!
Amen!
Amen! Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.